91.3 FM Stereo.
My radio station. Your radio station. Our radio station. The voice of the Cape.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good evening. Welcome to The Burning Issue. I'm your host, Yazid Kamaldin. So last week we talked about Hajj. And this week we talk about death. We are talking about COVID-19. Friday marked 100 days since South Africans were informed of the first COVID-19 patient. And the country has seen a steady increase in infections and deaths. At first, the bulk of the country's cases were quote-unquote imported from foreigners entering the country and citizens returning from overseas trips. And then it was towards the end of March that the country began seeing cases of community transmission. Now, last night, South Africa breached the 100,000 mark. Now, this is a big number, with 101,590 COVID-19 cases and just under 2,000 deaths. Now, experts say we are closely heading to the peak of the virus, and we see this every day by the amount of janazas we read out on air. Now, of course, just to clarify that not every janaza that is being read out on air is a COVID-19 case. Now, in tonight's show, we look at the changing landscape of Muslim burial over the past 100 days. We ask questions, what are the challenges, what are the patterns, and why? We're going to welcome our guests in a minute. And of course, if you have stories or information that you want to share about this, you're welcome to do so as well. We'll be taking your questions and messages. You can WhatsApp us to 072-238-0712. That's 072-238-0712. You can also, of course, that's throughout the show. You can also give us a call in the studio. The number is 021-442-3530. Now, we're going to be chatting this evening to Mr. Ibrahim Solomon. He is chairperson of the Western Cape Muslim Undertakers Forum. He's going to be our first guest, and he's going to be talking about, of course, his experience in this. And then we'll also be talking to an independent undertaker. His name is Yahya Canfield. He's going to be joining us later. And we are going to be going to Gauteng as well to look at burial challenges with a Johannesburg-based Sabiri Justice Society. And we chat to Muhammad Wadi of Muslim Stats South Africa on some interesting trends that they are analyzing with regards to the COVID-19 in the Muslim community. So in studio now we have Ibrahim Solomon. Ibrahim, salam alaikum, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Look, I'm going to ask you the first question that I want to get out of the way. There are still people in our community who think that COVID-19 is not a reality.
You know, Yazid, I've been preaching this for the last couple of months. Because one gets to a janaza and you don't get that social distancing and you don't get people attending the janazas with masks and people don't sanitize. Those are the three main things that they need to observe when going to a janaza. And I always tell them at a janaza that it is not the janaza or the mayit that's going to spread the virus. It is them that is there at the janaza that will move that virus from one place to the other. This virus is so real. I think we are standing on the brink of 100 Muslim deaths in the Western Cape. If my knowledge serves me correctly, last night we were 97. There was two more today, if not more, then we are standing on positive people that has passed away of COVID-19 on 100. Mm-hmm. That is, since the day that I started with the first Muslim burial, that was on the 4th of the 4th of this year, up till today, which is the 23rd of the 6th month. In the last 2.5 months, we're standing on 100 positive COVID janazas. we're going to try and unpack that fallacy that people have that every janazah that is there is a COVID janazah.
Okay, so the thing is, obviously when we're saying that it was a COVID janazah, you're talking about the report that came from the hospital, not just the family saying, I mean, there was a test, there was something that was proof,
there was a
right?
test and there was yeah. positive proof yeah. that person was COVID. Otherwise, it won't state on the notice of death that the person has passed away of COVID. Pneumonia, COVID, what's the other, coronavirus positive, whatever you want to call it. If it states on the notice of death that person is positive COVID, then it is a positive COVID. If the person was tested and he had the symptoms of the virus, they tested him and his results is not in yet, seeing that we as Muslims want to bury as soon as possible, we don't wait for the results, but then we have to treat that body as a COVID person.
But do you say it's COVID?
No, we don't.
It's not registered as a COVID death. Okay.
No death is registered yeah. as a COVID.
Okay.
We just need to clear that up. No death yeah. is registered yeah. as a COVID.
Yeah.
COVID-19 is a natural cause. Because it's a strong strain of the flu.
Yeah.
So it's a natural cause. So you die of a natural cause, and all death certificates states natural cause if somebody dies of COVID.
Yeah. You know, because people have the idea that because they haven't seen someone, you know, it's almost like people want seeing is believing, as they say. But the point of it is you are seeing people. I mean, and also like these very special precautions, obviously. You're saying people coming to the janazah, they're not necessarily observing the safety precautions as outlined by the government, etc. And so where would they get the COVID then if they come to the janazah? Are you saying from the...
From interacting with... You see, we've got this tendency of hugging and kissing and... Yeah. and you know, the families at the janazah, they yeah. come and they still shake hands, they still hug, they still kiss and things like that. So this is this where the virus can be spread.
Okay, so we got that out the way. We got the first most important question out the way. Community, we have someone in the studio who buries people who have passed away of COVID-19. He's saying it's very real. I know through conversation with many people, I'm a journalist, I talk to people, there are still people in our community who believe this thing is not real. We're going to go for an ad break. When we come back, we're going to get into the questions.
The Burning Issue.
So, Mr. Solomon, Ibrahim, how many janazas of the almost 100 have you done over the last period since COVID-19 deaths have been recorded here in South Africa?
I've done just over 60, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if I should say alhamdulillah, or how I should put it.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, don't worry about that. What I want to know is this is uncharted territory. We are not used to this in South Africa. We have janazas, people come in droves. Suddenly the government says you can only be 50, you have to social distance, you can't greet someone properly like you say, we greet each other, we shake hands, etc. You want to greet the family, you give your condolences. What are the challenges of burying someone with COVID-19 during this time?
Oh, it's huge. Yazid, from the offset, collecting the body at the hospital, you know, whoever collects the body needs to go into full PPE because you're walking into...
Let's tell people exactly what is PPE. Right. Personal protective equipment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are... And it's not only a hazmat suit. It's gloves, it's aprons, it's masks, it's foot coverings, it's hair coverings, head coverings. All these things is personal protective. We need to take precautions because we're going into an infected area to take a body out of there.
Is it like a unit, a special unit, right, for all the COVID-19 cases?
Yes.
Right?
If the person is positive, mm-hmm. he will be in a special unit. If the person is under investigation, he will be in a certain unit because in that particular unit, they are still waiting on results. Or if the person has gone in, they will wheel the person to the different sections. You find people that go into hospital today, tomorrow they pass away. You find people that's in hospital for 8 weeks. I buried somebody that was in hospital for 8 weeks. I buried people that was in hospital for three weeks. I buried people that is in hospital for just one night.
Yeah. Everyone's body is reacting differently. Some people, alhamdulillah, recover.
Yes.
The majority of our people recover.
Recovered.
Yeah.
The thing is just if you've got underlying problems.
Diabetes,
hypertension, yeah. kidney problems, all those things, because those are the things that the virus attacks and it gets to you. If you're asthmatic and the virus attacks you, you're gonna go down. We die when your time is there.
Yeah.
But the quality of life that you're going to have is the other question.
Take us through the challenges. Let's continue on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have when collecting a body at the hospital, you've got to go into full PPE. Now we've got a team that goes into the infected area. They go and the one challenge at the hospitals, at most of the hospitals, is and I understand it, the paperwork is never completed. So for us to release a body from the hospital takes a hell of a long time, because the doctor obviously that is in that ward is busy and is infected. He's in PPE. He's got to come out of that ward to come and complete the paperwork. So for him to come out, he's got to finish with his patients and then doff his PPE, come out of there, and then go and do the paperwork. So that time that is that we spend there to release the body, because we want to bury as soon as possible. So
how much time do you think?
Look, there's been sometimes, especially at the private hospitals, when we go and collect bodies there, that we've spent up to 4 or 5 hours waiting on the body.
That is quite a long time. Yeah.
Because you see, again, I'm going to stress this, that nobody was prepared for this COVID. Not the hospitals. There's nobody can tell me that they were prepared for this COVID. So we were all in a learning curve. As the months and days went by, we all learned, even environmental health, that we took our guidelines from the word go. The regulations changed as the months went by, and so before they said that the body must be wrapped at the hospital or placed into double body bags, and then the regulations changed where the body can only be wrapped in a shroud like normal body, but it must be tightly wrapped in a shroud. So we've got to go there and we've got to collect the body with a body bag.
And is that normal fabric material?
It's a plasticky, a thin plastic that the body is wrapped in the shroud.
Okay.
So when we collect the body, we take it, we bag it, we take it out from there, then we've got to take the body to a ghusl khana. There was two ghusl khanas that was made available. That is the one in Taronga Road and the one in Usami Masjid in Craven Beach.
I just have a question, Maf. At that stage, is it only the undertakers who go to the hospital, or can family also go in? Yeah.
No,
just help us to understand, because usually family is almost there.
Yeah, the whole family sometimes comes to the hospital. No families can come there because they can't go into the infected area. And obviously, we go into PPE when we go into the ward, when we come out, we doff.
Which means you're taking off all that clothes again.
Take all that clothes off again.
Making sure you're not infecting other people, because that clothes could be
taking it into our vehicle.
Yeah.
And then we then transport the body. And when there's a body in the cartle, which is our trolley, we've got wheels on our cartle. We push it into the hospital. We load it into there. We seal it. We send it out. Then we've got to disinfect. We disinfect the bed that the person was lying in, so that whoever was there can come in and come and collect, come and clean up and things like that.
Marv, where is that now?
At the hospital.
But why would you need to do that? Isn't that the responsibility of the hospital?
We're taking that body. It is the responsibility, yeah. But they don't do it.
Strange.
Strangely enough, these things happen. So we disinfect and we bring a cartel out that tomorrow the janaza or later the janaza is going to be in. We've got to disinfect it once before we come out of the
the infected area.
So you've taken the cattle into the ward.
Into the ward.
That's how you're going to disinfect it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've got to disinfect. We've got to place it into our vehicle. We then proceed to the ghusl khana. When we get to the ghusl khana, whoever's going to ghusl, it's got to don the PPE again.
Still no family or family?
No,
also?
No family. Look, we
even
can't,
if there's somebody from the family who can do the ghusl, can't
if,
they?
Even if they
sometimes
can do the
family
ghusl,
wants to be part of
yeah,
this.
Even if they can do the ghusl, if they're not part of the team, we won't allow them in because we're not going to take the responsibility if the virus is spread. So the team goes in, the team then dons their PPE, they then ghusl, they then bag the body. Then they kafan over the bay. This is, I've been questioned on this mm-hmm. many a times, but this is where we come to the nitty-gritties of the whole Muslim part of ziyarating the body and things like that. The body goes into a body bag, see-through body bag, so that we kafan over that.
So now, this is now plastic.
Yeah, we put it into the see-through body bag so that when we are doing the kafan, if you're washing the body, there's not much movement because you wash, we wash in the same way as we wash anybody, but the only thing that we don't do is we don't do the istibra. That is when you press the stomach and bring the body up to press everything out. We don't do that because there's still that fear that the body, the person might aerosolite. Wind might come out, and that the virus can still spread that way. So what we do is we put a mask on for the deceased, and we wash him as normal, and then bag him. Obviously, cover the private part with cotton wool, and then bag him, and then we kafan over that. So that allows us to open up the kafan so that the families can come and ziyarat. And then
you put the plastic over the person,
yeah,
and then the cloth.
Yeah, that
okay. Yeah, you leave good. The head open. The
we
face
leave
open.
The face open, yeah. Like normal.
Yeah,
you've got a body there. If you're done with the washing, you then place it in the kafan and you open the face like normal. Mm. But here, only the face is seen through a plastic bag, through a body bag. Then we place the body into another plastic bag, but we don't seal it because we need to close the kafan. You understand? So when the family finish their ziyarat, they then
Now before you fast forward, now the ziyarat process is important to understand, because this is a challenging thing. I mean, I've been in contact with a young woman who contacted us. She said their grandfather died. Mm-hmm. The funeral, the janaza, was done in such a haste that most of the family members didn't even get a chance to ziyarat the grandfather. Now, this is someone who's been part of their life for their whole lives. It's the grandfather, right? So just take us into the room where the body is. Does the body go to the family? Where does the ziyarat take place?
Okay. Yazid, I just need to emphasize this. I am chairperson of the Western Cape Muslim Undertakers Forum. I also have a burial service called Hadi Miladad Burial Services. So I have a burial service and I do janazas. The process that I'm explaining is from our burial service. There is other burial services and, there's been burial services. I don't know if they're still doing it. That is, that fetches the body at the hospital. The body's in that shroud. They put it into a bag and they drive straight from the hospital straight to the maqbara and they go and bury the person.
Without ghusl.
Without ghusl. I don't know if they do the tayammum when they place the bag into the body into the bag. And I'm still waiting on some learned scholar to tell me why, because I know that some of these guys are under the impression that when a person dies of a virus of COVID or a virus, they use a particular hadith that says that if a person dies of a virus, he dies as a martyr. Now, I know that you get a reward of a martyr, not, you don't die as a martyr, but you get a reward of a martyr. But they, so with that, they take the person straight to the Kaaba site and go and bury the person.
So I think families must be aware of this beforehand, eh? Before, yeah. When they contact a burial service, like, you know, society or service, they must actually be very aware of this because...
What they're going to do.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about the ziyarat process. Right. How does it work? So the families understand all.
So when they're done with the ghusl and the kafan and the body's in the bag, they then disinfect the entire area where they washed. So we have... Since the first COVID janazas, what we did was, regulations didn't allow you to have a ziyarat. So we washed and we kafaned and then closed up the bag.
Wow.
That was,
people may not have seen the deceased for up to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they just don't have any closure
Any closure. With the bit of humanity in me and the bit of empathy in me, there was one guy that passed away. He was in hospital for 8 weeks and his children didn't see him. And his son came to me and he said to me, can I go into the room? I then donned him into a suit and I said to him, go into the room. I mean,
Is this now when you did the ghusl?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't allow him to stay for the ghusl because in fact, he wanted to come out of there because he couldn't, you see, this is, emotions can take over, man. Once you see. Yeah. So the only contact that they had with their father was via telephone or via video calling.
Look, Ibrahim, I have got a lot of questions and there's a lot of WhatsApp messages coming in. I know that you're going to be only till 8 o'clock. If you want to stay longer, stay longer. There's lots of questions. Right. But the point is, I need to get to step by step so that our people know how this works.
Okay.
Ziyarat.
So the room is disinfected. Now I just touched on that, Yazid, for the simple reason because people might just think that at the beginning, they couldn't ziyarat. They couldn't see because regulations didn't allow it.
Yeah.
Then regulations changed.
We're talking about now. What happens now?
Now you can ziyarat. In fact, now we can take the body back home.
Okay. In the plastic bag.
People can ziyarat at home for a maximum of a half an hour and then we have to move on.
Wow.
So
there's no lack of people reciting Yasin and all that other
stuff. It happens, but regulation says half an hour, so we try. The whole area is disinfected, and then we allow the people to ziyarat, and then we bring the body out into the courtyard at the wrong road. 99% of the ghusls of the COVID positive bodies that we've done it at the Taronga Roads Masjid. And I have to thank Taronga Roads caretaker. He gets up at any hour of the morning to open up for us. Because this happens in the middle of the night. I have to thank him and I have to thank the committee of Taronga Road because we've had that free reign of going there with every janaz, alhamdulillah. So we take it out into the courtyard. We then perform Salatul Janaza. We allow the family to come. 50 people maximum. That includes the team, which consists, depending on if it's a woman or a man, we've got the team that carries and things like that, and then the woman.
So wait, just to confirm, the ziyarah happens at Taronga Road.
At Taronga.
Everybody must come there.
Yeah.
This person, this body does not go back to the family home.
Now, after the 25th of May, regulations has changed and regulations now says that the body can go home. You can take the body home, allow the family to ziyarah, and then, you proceed from there.
But also half an hour.
Also half an hour.
Okay.
Now, at the Taronga Road, we do it for longer because that is, and we try and keep strictly to the regulations where there's 50 people. We try and keep it. There has been janazas. I mean, you find high profile people passing away of COVID and, you can't tell the people not to come to the janaza, but we keep it that way. And when we go to the cemetery, we keep it at 50 people. We keep a register of every janaza that we have. We keep a register of all the people that is at the janaza.
Have you turned people away?
We have at one occasion of one of the janazas, the family actually had to ask the people to leave because there was too many people there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing about it, the challenge is obviously you hear about the janaza, you know the person, you go, you want to go make the, join the Salatul janaza, and you don't know who else is going. So you come to the mosque and suddenly there's 200 people.
Yeah. So we allow the people to make the Salatul janaza and they leave.
Okay. Then you go to the Kabistan, to the cemetery.
Yeah.
Then you bury.
Mm-hmm. We bury the person. In a plastic bag, and the plastic bag remains sealed.
It's really strange, right? To be buried in a plastic bag.
It is. Two plastic bags, in actual fact.
I mean, disintegrating, how does that work?
Biodegradable bags that we use.
So that will disintegrate, the body will... Yeah. Okay. Let's go for a quick ad break. When we come back, we've got more questions.
Inshallah.
Welcome back to The Burning Issue with myself, Yazid Kamaldeen. And of course, tonight we're looking and talking about the COVID-19 janazas. And I would like to just point out that we have in the studio, we have someone who does the actual burials, janazas. His name is Ibrahim Solomon, and he's been talking to us about the challenges of doing the janaza of a COVID-19 patient, or rather deceased person. Now, I'm going to look at some of the WhatsApp messages that have come through as well. Let's look at it. So, look, a lot of people are asking about the money. That's one thing about our community. They always want to know about the money. You know, so the first question straight up, Salam, how much does it cost to bury a body?
A body or a COVID body?
In the context of this evening's conversation, a COVID body.
COVID body, 7,000. That is what I am charging, 7,000.
We'll only talk about you.
And I can break it down. Yeah. I can break it down for you if you want me to.
Let's go.
I can break it down for you.
Yeah.
Collecting the body, we use two suits, gloves, masks. I want people to do the maths, right? Then there is the ghusl khana. The ghusl khana charges us. We don't go there for free. They charge us to ghusl there. Then there is the hearse, obviously, the collecting the body and driving the body to the ghusl khana or to wherever. Then there is the body bags that the body goes in. Then there is the tukah monies. And lots of people are trying to tell me that since when does tukah monies charge? You try and get up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And
yeah, but remember, people have always been doing this bookies that they collect money.
That's a burial society.
Yeah.
My burial society, if you die of COVID, we do it for you free of charge. According to my burial society. The other burial societies, whatever they are doing, I don't know.
Well, let's focus on your service, please. Yeah.
I do it free of charge if you die of COVID.
But you said it's now 7,000.
No, 7,000 rand if I do a private janaza, not one of my members.
Okay.
A bookie is where you pay every month.
For like forever?
Not forever.
Oh, okay.
Whether
until 7,000.
Until you die. until you die.
I find that stuff fascinating.
You must actually do the math and see if you pay. I charge 100 rand a month per family. Now, if I've got 10 people on my that pays for the 100 rand, I don't know when is forever. Because I don't, I mean, if 10 people passes away, And it's 70,000 rand.
Okay.
And then people...
You're giving us a checklist of your costs. Right. You need to leave at 8. Okay. We have a lot of questions.
We've got the body bags. We've got the hearse. We've got the imam. We've got whatever goes with the janaza. So where does the cost... why are people questioning? And certain of the maqbaras, they charge us more if it's a COVID body.
For a grave?
Yeah, for a grave.
But what's the difference? It's a hole.
Yeah, exactly. But their thing is they're never going to open it up again. If it's a COVID body, they're never going to open it up because they don't know what's... So yeah, we've got a... And some of the cemeteries charge up to 4,700 rand for a hole. So
For
one hole. So I did a COVID janaza and I charged the people... Or the people paid, the people paid 11,000 rand for the janaza.
So look, our listener 1018 says, why do you need 9,000 rand to bury a COVID-19 person? So obviously there's the suits, there's We need to understand the cost as well. That's what people want to understand, right? So you've given us an idea of some of the costs. Are there anything else that you want to mention in terms of costs?
Cost is basically the look, for a normal janaza, I charge 5,000 rand. Normal janaza, sometimes 4,500 rand. If the people don't have the money, our duty is to get the person under the ground. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of, but that is what a COVID janaza costs. I charge 7,000 rand. Whatever the other people charge, I'm not worried.
Okay, cool. So look, I mean, listener 808 says, I heard about mass graves burying. Will this happen?
I, at the moment, I don't know, but we are on 100 now. If 100 people drop dead tomorrow, on one day, then maybe we're going to have to go that route.
Put more than one body in a hole, even in the Islamic context.
Not more than one in one hole. We'll have to dig a long string of graves and bury them
separately.
Okay. In a long string of graves.
So it's like a mass funeral.
That's right.
Okay, not a mass grave.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So what we also want to look at is, in terms of the two ghusl facilities, are there only two in Cape Town?
No, there's many ghusl facilities in Cape Town.
For COVID, I mean.
There's only two for COVID now.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to confirm.
There's only two. Two was sanctioned by the Environmental Health and by the MJC.
Okay. Is it true that the personal protective equipment is disposed of with the deceased in the ground?
Oh, we don't do that. I've heard about it. I've seen it happening at the cemetery.
At a Muslim
cemetery. We carry a red, what do you call it? Hazardous waste bag, and we dispose of it in the bag, and it gets disposed of in the proper manner.
Are there enough undertakers and tukamanis to deal with a possible surge in cases if we get more deaths?
I think so. I think we will. There's enough tukamanis. And
tukamanis is the person who does the ghusl, right?
The ghusl, yes.
Yeah.
My team is growing. My team is standing on 16 people, alhamdulillah. And we all jump in.
I mean, because this is you need to know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could get COVID yourself.
Exactly.
So, what about burial space, right? Do you think our cemeteries are equipped? Will we have enough space? Is that why they're pushing up the prices? Because the space is... Why? I mean...
We're expecting a spike in deaths soon. And the burial space, I mean, we've got cemeteries now that don't even have holes for us now because of the workload of the amount of people. I mean, there was one day now... last week, when there was 20 janazas on one day.
But, I mean, we're not saying that's all COVID. We're just saying there were 20 janazas. Yeah. Okay. What I also want to understand is, tying to that now, saying that it's not all COVID, right? There are stories about people passing away of underlying conditions or other medical or health conditions, but then a death certificate says that it's COVID-19. Okay. What do you think about that?
I need to clear the air. There's three things on the death certificate when a person passes away. You either die a natural death, an unnatural death, or you die, the death certificate will state under investigation. That is, if the result is not conclusive by the time that you register the death. So COVID-19 is classified as a natural death, and all the death certificates of all the janazas of COVID positive people that I've done stated natural causes.
So you're saying it's all COVID?
No. What I'm saying is the notice of death that you receive at hospital will state there COVID positive or COVID pneumonia. It will state there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it will say that it is they've done a COVID test and the person is PUI, which is person under investigation. So when they say that the person has been tested for COVID, obviously they either had underlying conditions, or they suspected COVID somehow that they had the symptoms of COVID. That's why they did the investigation.
But so, because this is now the thing, right? I mean, one of our listeners also wants to know about listener 5001 asks, do we assume that all bodies are treated as COVID when it is not confirmed? And as you mentioned, still under investigation.
Still under investigation, we've got to. Because they've done a test and we don't have the results. As Muslims, we try and bury as soon as possible. Because if they've done it, if they've done a test, then symptoms must have been there.
Mm-hmm.
So because some people say that, oh, my mother got a pain over the chest and she went into hospital and they said it's a COVID. Some people say that my mother was breathing heavily and she's asthmatic for years. How can she be COVID? She hasn't been out of the house. She doesn't have to go out of the house.
Yeah, the question isn't around that. The question is around the medical reason for death, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to talk about.
The medical reason for death, it will state there that the person is either PUI, which is person under investigation.
And then it's treated as a COVID,
be treated as a COVID.
Because that's what our listener 4836 also asks. Can a suspected COVID person, and well, actually this question has been answered. The listener wants to know, can a suspected COVID person be brought to their home for ziyarat? The answer is yes. Ziyarat can
now
happen.
After the 25th of, or we will say that regulations change on the 25th, and since the 1st of June, that was allowed.
Yeah. Look, I have a difficult question. Our listeners are asking us difficult questions. These things come out on social media anyway, so I'm going to ask you this question. The person, listener 1622 says, I was at a janaza on Sunday in Bhutai. Ibrahim and his workers only had masks and gloves on, no personal protective equipment. But isn't that personal protective equipment?
Once the body has been washed and bagged, that body is as safe as anything. So, did any of the other people that was at the janaza have personal protective or have gloves and hazmat suits on? Personal protective clothing is your gloves and your mask. Once that body has been seen to, then I think that is personal protective clothing.
Yeah.
That's what regulation states.
Yeah. Look, we're rushing through questions. We're going to go for an ad break. More questions coming up. Welcome back to Burning Issue with myself, Yazid Kamaldin. And this evening, we're talking about COVID-19 janazas, how it's done, what the challenges are. We've got a number of questions from our listeners. Listener 2778 says, how much is it to bury someone with COVID-19?
I'll answer that. So, we charge 7,000 rand.
Okay. Do you know, I was just wondering now also, this is a question that I have. It must be so hard, though, for families who've lost someone of COVID who can't, you know, go through a, if I can say, proper or normal janaza.
Very difficult. Difficult times. Like I said, my empathy and my humanitarian part of me has to come out there. I have to try and you know, regulations is regulations, and we've got to follow it because we can't allow families to do what they want to, especially with a janaza. You find people hanging over bodies and things like that.
Crying,
kissing and hugging and those things aren't permitted. It's difficult times, but unfortunately, this year, I mean, the virus is real.
Yeah. Look, I mean, here's the reality, okay? Somebody, listener 0115, suggests that people must wait for an autopsy before they bury their families, the COVID-19 person, because they're saying there's a false diagnosis of COVID. But, I mean, this will take time.
Of course. We as Muslims bury soon as possible. And yeah, I know of people that has waited the time out to see whether the results comes in positive or negative, and then they go and bury. And we've been fighting, especially the Western Cape Muslim Undertakers Forum has been fighting with the mortuaries and with cemeteries to try and bury the people as soon as possible.
Okay. So look, I mean, the thing is, we also, a lot more questions coming in around the money, right? But we've covered all those questions. People are talking about, like, how can people afford to spend all this money and so on. But I think we've covered the money questions. I think I'm not going to ask any more questions related to money. Let's see what else is here. Yeah, I mean, also people want to know, what if it's a poor person who can't even afford a janazah?
Yazid, last week I did a janazah of a family that didn't have money. Alhamdulillah, we went to go and bury their mother, without money. This is reality. Like I always say, my maqsad is to get that body under the ground. That is it. But at the end of the day, if we are going to say that we do the janazas for this amount and that amount, you must remember that I'm not sponsored. Every cent comes out of my pocket. Or it comes out of whoever's paying for the janazas. We buy our PPE. We go through a lot of PPE. We go through gloves. We go through boxes of gloves. We give people sanitizers. We disinfect. We give people gloves at the janazah. We give people masks at the janazah. I mean, we go through boxes of gloves at a janazah. And if people don't want to make use of our service, they can make use of other services. But like I said, and lots of people are going to say, I'm doing it just for the money. I'm not doing it for the money. My duty is to see that everything is done in the correct fashion. We follow the Sharia and we follow the regulations of the country.
Okay, shukran. So look, we're going to leave it at that. It's now 8 p.m. Shukran so much for coming in. I mean, there are many more questions I could ask you, but I just want to thank you. Is there any final words that you want to share with our listeners?
My final words is, and I stress on this, is when people call for me to do a janazah for them or call any of the undertakers, make sure what service you are going to be provided. Mm-hmm. Because you're only going to get what you pay for.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah. Shukran so much. Of course, that was Ibrahim Solomon. We wish you all the best. I know you've got another interview coming up. I wish you all the best for that. That was Ibrahim Solomon. He's chairperson of the Western Cape Muslim Undertakers Forum.
My radio station. Your radio station. Our radio station. The voice of the Cape.